Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, May 4th, and may the 4th be with you.
And may the 4th be with you.
Somebody had to remind me on Facebook.
It's Star Wars Day, baby.
Exactly. We get it once a year. Someone doesn't remind me, the hell if I'm going to remember.
Oh, this is big. My group of friends.
Really?
Not really. But we like it. And, you know, may she rest, Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
And Debbie Reynolds, of course. Yeah, may the 4th be with you, man. May is funny. It's a lot of puns on the names.
That's true, right?
It's gonna be May. That's the big one. Justin Timberlake posted, "It's gonna be May."
Really?
Yeah, he was in on the joke.
So oh, he nice. Says me, but
it sounds like May. So if May 1st is Justin Timberlake Day.
Sounds like
and everyone
May.
Goes, "It's gonna be May." It's very good.
I like that.
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's how who used to sing like that? Britney Spears, right?
Now, yeah, and Bang. They dated, so I think that's how they got together.
Yeah,
with
right?
Because she's like, hit me, baby, Bang. One more time.
Bye-bye.
I got to say, I know I'm sounding like I'm having some kind of diabetic shock, but I love Britney Spears.
Yeah, she's got good songs.
Yeah, and she was, I was born, I'm the same exact age as Britney, so I grew up with Britney.
Right.
I'm like a Britney Spears like kid.
Yes.
Man, love that woman. Couldn't be better. She can't dance anymore. She just kind of walks around, but her concert apparently I got to go to.
Really?
It's
That's
ending,
in Vegas
man.
Now?
It's in Vegas. Yeah, it's Caesars. I've
oh,
got
and it's
to go
ending?
To it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, just go if you're a big fan.
Oh my god, I would
you can't
die.
Miss out on that, right?
Oh my god.
Wow, that's funny to be such a big fan.
I know. I mean, I know. So, I was walking the other day and someone walked over and was in line next to me, and it was Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, really?
And I took a picture.
It's Yankovic, I think.
I think it's Yankovic, you're right. But right. I said itch. I don't know why. And I said, I was really cool until the end where I was like talking normally and we're just chatting as if I didn't know who this guy was. And at the end, I was like, hey, I'm wondering if I can get a painter.
Really?
I just like started shaking and like got starstruck. And I was like, I'm a comic. I listened to all your albums. Like I loved your stuff. So he was so nice.
Really?
So nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
You couldn't have been kinder.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's no reason for a celebrity not to be nice.
Yeah.
And,
right. Like you can be one way or you could be one, then not the other way.
Right.
So exactly.
I never had a lot of admiration for him because I didn't find the songs to be funny.
Right.
You know, because there was one, two in the beginning.
I was a kid at the time, so it was really funny.
Right.
Like, I'm fat. I thought those were so silly.
I know.
You're like, what?
No, it's like, yeah, I can't hear another one of those. You know, it's
not
funny. But
I love them.
Whatever. There's a market for
it. Yeah, I know. And it's like, I just get starstruck over anyone, I think.
Yeah.
You can be like season 3 zombie from Walking Dead and I'm like, oh my god, hi.
Well, you definitely live in the right town for that.
I know. Every actor, every waiter is like zombie 3.
Right.
So true. So true.
That's true. So let's see, we're gonna have somebody calling in, actually Max Tucci. Have you talked to him before? He's a host on the show.
No.
So he hasn't called in a while and he's got something to say, so we're going to have him on
Max
the phone.
Max Tucci.
Yeah, he's very nice.
I wonder if he's related to Max. Stanley.
Stanley? Who's Stanley Tucci?
He's a very famous actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I know that he's his grandfather had a very famous restaurant in New York, and they still do, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Tucci. So
Delmonico something.
Mm. Yeah.
But, obviously Italian, very good stuff. So.
Yummy.
So we'll talk to Max in a few minutes. Everything. Our app is finally out, but I'm finding some bugs in it.
Oh.
So I don't want to announce it yet. I'm not sending people to the link yet.
Okay.
But
we're announcing it, but not announcing it.
Exactly.
I feel
so
you.
If you're a listener of the show, just know that you can listen to the show on the stream repeatedly every day's show. And then there's archives, but the archives there's a little bug in them. So we need to fix that. But our app is out there.
Wow.
You know? But we'll do like a.
There's an app for that.
And
that's exciting.
We'll do a dedicated one to it when it comes out.
Yes.
You know? So I'm just happy because I like to make things out of nothing, you know?
That's so cool. You know? That's kind of what acting is, too.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, entrepreneurship, pretty much, you know. Except some people actually prefer to copy other people and steal from them and stuff. But to me, that's not attractive, you know? I got to be first in a market or something.
Yeah. That's hard.
Yeah. So I'm launching this Israeli station now here in LA.
I saw that. I thought that's such a smart idea.
Right? Yeah. I mean, because there's nobody doing this, you know.
Very smart. Where do these ideas come to you? In the middle of the night?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know where I get them. Usually there's something that, like in this case, well, I've wanted to do one for a long time. But, you know, I don't want to do Hebrew broadcasts from this station because this is an English-speaking station.
Right.
So I decided I always wanted to do a separate one, but I never really thought, you know, I have enough on my plate as it is. But then I started seeing this only two local newspapers for the Israeli community, and I see them getting thicker every day. Mm. And I thought, people are advertising out there. So
the thicker thing meant advertise. Oh, I wouldn't have thought that. Okay, yeah, cool. So there's some money there.
I thought there's a lot of advertisers, and they don't have many channels to advertise in other than these two newspapers. There's not even a TV channel or anything. So I thought I'd start a radio channel or station because nobody really is in a position to do it other than me. You know,
wow.
I already have the setup. I have everything, you know.
Sam, that's so cool.
I know. So people would be able. And another thing is I was thinking of my parents, you know.
Yeah.
If I have them listen to this show, they're not going to get into
right.
it, you know. But if it's in Hebrew about things that they understand and can relate to. All they have to
that's
do is
so
press the button
that's
on the phone.
Great.
You know?
Sam, that's so cool. Yeah. Self-create, self-generate. That's awesome.
Right. You know, so
even you, who's the successful owner of this whole radio station, is like, let me create something new. Like, that's
yeah,
so cool.
Yeah, I get bored, you know.
Yeah,
really do.
It's so cool.
And I like to bring things that haven't existed before, you know.
That's great.
So if there was already a radio station there, I would be like,
yeah, you don't
maybe
need to
I
go
can
compete.
Do it better.
Right, right, right.
Maybe I can do it better, but still. So, you know, look, with LA Talk Radio, we're in a big, big market, but we compete with a lot of media.
Yeah.
We compete with everything, with the phones, you know, with the internet, with TV, with everything. And so being, to me, I found that being a small fish in a big pond is not a good idea. Because it's like you're in the big ocean. But if you're the big fish in the small pond, okay, so the pond is much smaller, but you're the big guy.
Yeah, who the fuck cares
exactly.
how big the pond is?
Yeah,
I agree
you
with
own
you.
Own the fucking
that,
thing.
That, you know that saying, the pond thing? I'm always like, who wants a big pond?
Right.
I need a small pond.
Well, it depends, because if you plan to go for mass market, then obviously you want the big
I guess not. Pond, I'm totally fine with a very small pond. I'm talking like almost like a puddle.
Right.
Like almost just like a drop of water. Like there's not even a
well,
pond.
Well, you can grow from there, you know. There you go. No, but I think the
I
secret
totally
is
agree
really
with
is,
you.
It's to narrow yourself to a niche.
A
you
niche.
Know?
Find. I just had an interview with the Orion Group, which is a podcast for millennials, and I'm an older millennial, which was so nice of him to say. And it's you can hear it at Purpose. What was it? Purpose of Influence, or just go to ToriShulman.com or my whatever. And we talked a long time about millennials, and I was like, the one thing you got to do is you got to start creating your own thing. You have to self-create. And I think that this next generation is going to be great at that.
I hope so.
I really do. Yeah. I think they have a lot of potential for some great
right.
things.
And in a way, you find that you have to. Sometimes it's
yeah.
like necessity makes you do it because you can't find a job. You
yeah.
know, maybe the job market
totally.
Is tough and stuff like that. And you go, well, or if you burned out on your job and stuff and it's
right.
like, I can't get it, take another job like this. Then do something you love
yeah.
and settle for less money. And
yeah.
maybe you'll make money.
And think about a smaller pond. That's right.
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you got to focus really. And that's the key in marketing, is to find a niche or a need. And fill it, you know, and not
yeah.
just go and become another me too.
Right. Now, when I got here in 2008, I think I got here, seven, I was like, I'm going to be an actress on a TV sitcom. Yay. But that's like, again, everybody wants that. So what I did is like, I realized, well, I'm not really getting those parts. I'm not tall enough and other things. And there are people who are better than me. And so what I found was like, oh, I keep getting these hosting things. Then I keep getting this pop culture thing. I was like, I'm going to make this so specific that like when you need a funny pop culture host, you're going to call Tori.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what you think about.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
or
good,
or you
yeah.
call the Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
Does Fox still have you come in sometimes?
They changed people, and now they want to do more like celebrity stuff, and I am no longer on there. It's okay. It's okay. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do? Look, in entertainment, things change.
Yeah. Like, I just got a call from someone who saw my stand-up, and just so random. She was the head of Game Show Network casting. She had me come in and do something a while back. Haven't heard from her in a while, but I always send her my stuff.
Yeah.
She's now head of casting for MGM and their unscripted TV, and she had called me in for, like, a pitch that they're doing. This woman absolutely remembers me, but I don't need to flood her inbox, but that's how, like, if you are good at one thing, you will be remembered for that one thing.
Right.
And she's like, you will have your own show. And I was like, I will be 150 before I get there, but I will have my own show.
No, you got to believe, you know, you got to believe it. Yeah. You got to do it. You got to take action, you know.
Yeah, but I agree with you on specificity is really important, and especially in your goals. If you're trying to, like, manifest, I have a vision board because whatever, I'm a dick. I try and believe those things. I not only put, like, a picture of a house. I put a picture of a house that I would want next to, like, some paint that I would specifically want the kitchen to be. Oh. So I have it as specified as possible. And things turn out to be, like, very, very much what I want. I wanted a husband that was very much my best friend, who is handsome, yes, and, like, very, very romantic, and also, like, really good at small motor skills. And that's exactly what I got.
Yeah, there you go. You see, you put it out there.
Yeah, you put it out there. So true.
Good for you. But you know what? The bottom line is you did go after what you wanted with him, right?
I did. And I went after acting and hosting too. And I think a lot of people think, oh, if only I could go after what I want, there's no way I'll go be a lawyer, doctor, whatever, accountant, whatever it is. And I had no thought ever that I would try that. Mm. I never once was like, yeah, I will just, like, dream about being an actor.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, no, no, no. These people know we only have one life, right? That's it, right, honey? I'll take some shit jobs all my life to be able to, like, try.
And that's good.
Yeah.
That's good because you're focused on something. And focus, I believe, is the most important thing. You know, because I think it's impossible not to succeed if you keep doing the same thing.
So I keep telling myself.
You know, no, I mean, but don't keep doing the same thing that doesn't work.
Right, right, right.
But keep on trying.
Right. And try different things. And what you said, like, when I was bored, and I'm being super honest, work had dried up for me in around 2013, 14. And I was like, okay, I'm bored. I'm literally bored just like you. So I had an idea of getting a little tipsy. And delivering tips. It came to me in the shower, this whole idea of Tipsy Tori, and that led to my new now job. So it was like any little thing you can do might help you in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I found that when I built this radio station, all my skills and my experiences sort of culminated in this. You know, graphic design and marketing and websites and you know, everything, you know, so running your business.
And it, like, exactly, it had all the things you love to do.
Right, so I've had all these things already, which prepared me for this, you know. Right,
and that's like hosting for me. I'd done improv for years. I know a lot of things that is not helpful in normal life. It's great.
Yeah.
It brings all my stuff in like a salad.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I find that, you know, if you love something, then be very good at it, you know, and be a little
study
different.
It.
Because in today's world, there are just so many people. You don't want to fit in with everybody. You need to be different. And I mean, every day I'm thinking, like, what can I do to go viral, you know? I don't want to do negative things because those are easy.
And, like, I love that you think that, and then I, like, hate that you have to think that too, right?
No, I know, but I'll tell you why. Yeah, that you have to. But I got to tell, think with everything, Tori. I mean,
no, you're right. You have to think that. Oh, I'm not disagreeing, but I hate that you have to kind of think that.
Right.
Right. That's where we are now, like, in society, that, like, what will go viral. That's what I'm thinking about, too, with my social media.
Right.
And it's sad that, like, a little bit sad that but that's how you reach a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that Southern Mama guy. I mean, I can't believe this. You know, he puts a video up, 9 million views. I mean, who the fuck watches this shit? You know?
I know.
We had this
when
guy
he was on, he was
on
40 million views on this, and it was just him imitating like a Southern mama in a car. And I was like, how did this guy hit the lottery?
I don't know. He hit the lottery.
I was thinking about
time.
That the whole interview. I was like, how did this guy get this many views? Right. Not that he wasn't adorable and charming, but he was.
But
I
there are a lot, right?
Yeah.
But you see, he's doing something different than nobody else is doing. He is, obviously.
He was in a car with a wig.
I know.
Talking in a Southern accent.
Yeah. I don't even know if it, oh, maybe in that one it was a wig, but he does have long hair, so sometimes he puts it up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but yeah, but it's not like drastically different.
No,
like,
no.
Yeah,
he just, doesn't he really hit, dress like her, or like a woman, or anything. He just does the action.
Yeah, he just talks out. So it's like he kind of hit whatever he hit. And I, what's really interesting, and this is going to sound really douchey, I know that right now, but Brad Pitt is in a new, he just opened up in a new magazine, and they took really beautiful photographs all over the national parks with him. And it's like a huge issue of GQ. And he talks about boozing too much and smoking too much pot and why it led to he and Angelina divorcing. Very open. But what was so interesting was he said, I know I hit the jackpot. I know it. I hit the lottery. So it's hard for me to tell you anything about anything that I'm complaining.
Right.
He's like, I got it. I was one in a gazillion that hit it. And I was like, that's cool that like he knows that.
That's true, right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, he's very handsome but and talented, but he's not the only one,
he
right?
He hit the lottery.
Yeah.
Also, I would love to just go, just meet him, just kiss, maybe just hug.
You just want to kiss and
really
hug
love him.
Okay. All right.
No, but he was really open, and he's now, he's wonderful. He's very good looking. He's always been my number one. But,
right, but there are many good looking guys in the world. Do you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't say he's the most
To me, he always, always will be.
Oh, wow.
No, I know.
But he's the symbol of man's, you know, perfection.
He is. I think he's just gorgeous. And he's really raw in these pictures, and he's open up, and he goes, I'm in recovery. I had child services brought on me. I'm not boozing anymore. I'm alone a lot.
Wow.
I'm sad a lot, but I'm getting therapy and I'm learning. He grew up in like a very Christian, where they spoke in tongues in Missouri. And he was like, everything was like, don't do this, don't do that. And so he's in a new movie, a Netflix movie called something about the army. And it's about us going to Afghanistan and how backwards we did it in with George W. Bush. And he plays McChrystal, General McChrystal. And you wouldn't even recognize him.
Really?
He looks so old and funny. And he's only doing comedies from now on.
Oh, really? So that's a comedy?
Yeah. It's supposed to be very, very funny. It's how inept we all were, and we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
It's very. I mean, that's not funny, but it's supposed to be very
ever,
funny.
You know? I mean, with all our wars, we seem to have fucked up big time.
Yeah. This is one of those, like, oh, is this what it was really like? And it kind of was.
Yeah, right.
No one kind of knew what we were doing.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to stand out somehow. And, and besides, we don't know about Brad Pitt. Maybe he hit the lottery, but the point is that I'm sure it didn't happen overnight. I'm sure he put himself in that situation.
The funny thing is like it did for him because when he got cast in Thelma and Louise, he played that cowboy.
Right.
And then everyone was like, the cowboy.
Really?
He was just a star. So he was, to be honest, one of the only ones. The other one I think about is Brooke Shields was like 15 and she's at a freaking Guns N' Roses concert.
Right.
And a scout discovers her.
Uh-huh.
Never had to work another day of her life.
Wow.
I mean, it was just
is that how she was discovered?
That's how she, and then Pamela Anderson, do you know how she was discovered?
Yes. I know.
On the Jumbotron at a baseball game.
Really?
And everyone's like, whoa! She was, they were
shooting the camera.
They're like, look at this cutie. Everyone's like, who is that? They were like, so they kept going back to her the whole game.
Oh, God.
That's how she became famous.
Really?
Yes. So there are people that hit the lottery. You know what I mean?
That's true,
But you got to be lucky and you got to be good.
Exactly. How many people are like that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is you got probably a million people in this town alone trying to get the same parts. And how many of them are going to be like a Tom Cruise or Pamela Anderson?
Yeah.
Or
and that's what I told the podcast. I was like, I really thought I'd get off this like metaphorical bus and I'd have agents everywhere and it would be easy.
Right.
And I was like, I had never imagined how hard these people work. And I said, any sitcom star that you see, I've been in a class with those people for 10 years. Like they have studied and worked and auditioned to get to that spot.
Right.
It is hard.
Wow. Yeah, there's usually a whole story behind, you know, overnight success.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Except for those three.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Killing it indeed.
Yeah. So interesting. It was very cool and great photographs. It was by a really cool artist of Brad Pitt in the national parks with some really cool lighting. And it was very neat. So I'm going to get the issue just because I kind of want to.
Because you can.
Yeah. It's very hot. I have to admit. He's just great.
Well, wouldn't it be cool to be Brad Pitt?
Yeah, actually not. He's very unhappy, to be honest. Right? He's incredibly depressed.
Wow.
He's alone. He you know what's weird is his production company, Plan B, has three Best Picture Oscar winners. But really? he didn't go to the Oscars. He was alone sculpting in his studio alone. Really? That's so pretentious.
So he's probably got maybe some mental illness, you know, maybe depression.
He feels after Angie left him and they called child services on him for an incident on the airplane with Maddox, that he went to rehab and
that would wake you up.
That's when he woke him up. And he was like, it was like the turning point. But he's like, I'm not living a midlife crisis, but I kind of am.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's not having an easy time.
No, not at all. Man. I mean,
he's very lonely.
That's when you hit bottom.
Yeah, he said he was sleeping on a friend's floor for a while, like just wanting to kind of get out of it all.
Well, you know,
Brad Pitt can have those days, you know?
I know. In a way, I don't understand why he brought himself into that situation with having so many kids. I mean, I would be stressed too.
He was fine with that, but he said he didn't go a day without drinking or smoking pot.
But that's what I'm saying. But why did he do that? You know, because he wasn't happy. And I would imagine, look, you have a big family like this. It's hard.
Yeah, well, it's not hard when you have nannies and money. It can be easy. True. Do you understand? He said he was boozing and smoking pot so much that he could have put a Russian under the table with his own vodka. He was like, I was a professional.
Wow.
So it had turned into a problem. And now this is the third leading man that we've seen come out of recovery in their 40s and 50s. So Ben Affleck came out. He's in recovery.
Robert Downey Jr.
Now you have Brad Pitt. It does give a good look on recovery because they're, you know, opening up. It does like help anyone going through this to also open up about it.
That's true.
You know, Brad Pitt has to go through it. Perhaps, you know.
Yeah, maybe people will look up to him.
Yeah. So he's very candid about how much he smoked and just constantly and drank constantly. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's not hiding anything anymore. So that's cool.
Yeah. This is a funny thing here. This happened in overseas somewhere, okay? And apparently this woman was killed by a neighbor.
Oh God.
After she allegedly trained her pet parrot to insult him. So she had a pet parrot.
I think I heard about this.
Really?
So the pet parrot was like, you're a douchebag.
Right.
And then the neighbor killed the other neighbor?
This is in Italy, like in the island of Sardinia. I mean, so.
Wow.
This is, but she was.
I wonder what that parrot said. What did the parrot say?
Oh, I don't know. I'm wondering.
Right?
Everyone wants to know
what was the parrot saying.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it was, it did not allow for murder. Let's just go there. That's terrible.
Oh, wow. They're saying, his lawyer said, listening to the parrot all day, it became an obsession for
him. Oh, it was constant? It wasn't like a one-off?
Yeah, it was probably she put him in the window.
Oh, my God. Well, wow. That's interesting.
How do you blame the guy for killing her?
Well, Sam. Jesus. I think you do.
Yeah.
But that is interesting. That is a sense of harassment, having a parrot insult you in Italian all day long. Vuole fare? Sì, va bene. Non posso trovarlo.
Well,
it'd be really bad.
Yeah. Do you know any curse words in Italian?
I was just thinking that.
That's
Fafanculo. That's it.
Fafanculo. Fafanculo is ass.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and you go like this. You take your thumb to your teeth.
Oh, wow.
And you go, Fafanculo.
Oh. Maybe it's go fuck yourself.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I should have probably learned what that is, except just knowing it's a bad word. Oh, well.
I know, the gestures, right?
Yeah, and in France, when you don't believe someone, I spent time in France, instead of rolling your eye, you pull down your eye with one with one finger, one eye with one finger.
Oh, you know what? We used to do that when we were kids.
Really?
Yeah.
It might have been
You go like this, like really.
Yeah, but you pull one eye down.
Right, you pull the eye down.
Yeah, like, that's in France, that's what they do. And, you know, in Italy, if you're not using full gestures, you might as well not be speaking.
Really?
It's just constant
hand
motions.
So with your hands all the time.
Constant.
Right.
And it's a lot of like that, like cupping motion. Right. Over and over. It's very true. They all do it.
And then it's different how, I mean, it's interesting how those gestures develop, because like the fuck you gesture in Hebrew is also with the middle finger.
Oh, is that
but
true?
But it's like this, you know, it's
oh,
different.
You don't
it's
curl like the fingers in, you
right,
leave them out.
The finger itself is pointing inward.
So you're saying it looks like what Spider-Man does when he lets his web out.
More or less, okay. Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Fuck you.
So it's like this.
Whoa, that's
yeah,
Spider-Man.
You just go like that, you know.
And then he pointed
like
at them?
Like you're pointing at him, oh. like a bird.
Like pecking. Like a parrot.
Exactly. Like a parrot pecking.
Oh, it's the parrot. It comes back
Isn't
to the parrot.
Isn't that funny?
Wow. It's very interesting.
And then when you pick up, like when you hitchhike, you know, we have the thumb.
Yeah, we
here.
Have the thumb.
In Israel, you're pointing. You kind of point to the side. Like
oh,
that with your finger.
Weird.
With your, yeah. Index
that
finger.
Is very strange.
Isn't that strange?
But I mean, the thumb is just as strange. What are
right.
we saying? Like,
exactly.
Good day. Yeah, it's very strange. That's very interesting. But is it what's choking? I feel like the universal they always taught me is this. You put your hands
choking,
to your throat?
Yeah, I guess
okay,
you
good.
Put your hands
so that's the
throat.
Only thing I know universally. And a smile.
Yeah, I know.
And a smile. I think there's a tribe, or what is it? A tribe in Aboriginal Australia. There is some kind of like indigenous tribe where when you shake your head yes, it means no to them. And when you shake your head no, it means yes to them.
Ah,
it's like the opposite.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's Bihar.
Right. Well, for us, but
for
if
us.
You grew up
yeah,
with
yeah,
that,
it's cool.
That, right? That
yeah.
would be the norm.
It's amazing.
It's
just so
I
interesting. Because this is so arbitrary,
into.
Right? Like just
right.
moving your head back and forth.
Right.
Great discussion.
Wow.
So interesting.
No, I know. And, you know, often I think of people that are deaf or blind and mm-hmm. stuff, and I'm going, wow, you know, how they develop their other senses.
Mm-hmm.
But how lucky we are to be able to see.
I was always yeah. saying that I know a little bit of sign language. So when I work at a store and there was be like a deaf family would come in, we'd speak sign language and they had a little baby and the baby spoke sign language.
Wow.
I love that little baby was like, please lemon and like moving her hands. It was so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's how you adapt. It's how you learn.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, did you ever think of someone that can't hear and can't see?
Helen Keller.
Right. I mean, isn't that like the worst thing
and
ever? How do you communicate with the
so
world?
So that's what happened.
Know?
So
touching.
The story of Helen Keller is so crazy because Anne, her, the woman who created or helped teach sign language to people who are deaf, she constantly was taking Helen Keller's hand. And she was like a live-in nanny. They hired Anne, this woman. And she'd do sign language letters, be like this, table in sign language letters, and then have Helen Keller touch the table.
Right.
But there was no way for Helen Keller to get that's what that meant.
Right.
So this happened over and over and over and over again,
wow.
and it never happened. And finally, one day, she was outside like getting water, and Anne does water with W-A-W-A, Wawa, mm-hmm. and she had her touch the water. And when she was very little, the only word she ever said out loud was Wawa when she was little, Helen Keller. And then she stopped. She couldn't speak after that. So she, like, all of a sudden, it hit her that what she was putting into her hands, imagine not seeing, not hearing, you realize this means that.
Right.
And she was started flipping out and was like, she hit Wawa and she was like, water, water, water. And then she ran around and was like, table, table, table. And that was what broke the sign language barrier for her.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah.
She couldn't you couldn't teach her this is what that is. But as soon as she realized what she's doing in my hand is what the object is, now that's how she learned. But it took like long
yeah, I mean, it takes
time.
A long time to figure it out.
Yeah, because you can't see and show that this is what this is. She's blind.
Right. Yeah, she doesn't sense the world.
Yeah.
You know?
So now after that, she did. So that was crazy.
Wow.
And she was a speaker and an orator, and she would speak at colleges. And I mean, she wouldn't.
Hope they can. They find the.
Yeah.
You know,
she could speak, but she didn't hear, so she didn't know. So that's why she could say Wawa.
Right. She could talk.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. But she didn't know how, and no one could teach her. But yeah, I think she learned to speak. This is crazy.
Yeah, right?
What a crazy woman that is. Bless her.
Wow. When did she live? Was that like in the 60s or something? 50s?
Helen Keller?
Yeah.
She was in, I thought, in more of like the turn of the century.
Oh, really? That's
I
long
thought so.
Ago.
Well,
okay.
When I see the piece,
maybe.
When I see the theater about her, let me just look it up. She's in like more period clothing, but I could be like so embarrassingly
You're probably
wrong.
Right.
No.
Because I know absolutely nothing.
Oh, my God. She died in 68.
Really?
Yeah. So
I was right.
You were totally right. But
but she did start.
She started earlier and she could speak. Crazy.
Yeah, so she did start at the turn of the century.
1880, she was born.
Wow.
Okay, so mama was not way off. Let's all talk about that. You know what I'm saying?
So she was like 80 years old or something. When
yeah,
she
was 80.
Right?
I'm so bad with math. It said something.
Well, in 1880 and then 16 something.
Yeah.
Then that's 80 years.
Yeah, that's good. That sounds good. Yeah, 87. She was an author, activist, lecturer. She was the first deaf blind person to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree.
What?
And yeah.
How do you do that?
Because she started to learn. Now, the teacher is named Anne Sullivan, and she broke through that isolation imposed by near complete lack of language by teaching her water, and its depiction are showed in The Miracle Worker, that play I was talking about, and that's right. How I learned it. So yeah, so it was the water, Wawa.
Very interesting.
Isn't that crazy? Jeez. And there's pictures of Anne Sullivan, if you guys look, doing the thing with Helen, putting the fingers into her hand and trying to teach her.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took pictures.
And on top of this, she gets a very long life, too, right?
I know.
My God.
It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to have to live with that for 87 years, my God.
And guess what? She was born with the ability to see and hear, but at 18 months old, she contracted an illness, a congestion of the stomach and brain, scarlet fever, and left her deaf and blind.
Wow.
That's crazy.
How sad, huh? Yeah. For the parents.
Yeah. But it, and it's crazy that she then went on to do all those things.
Yeah.
I'm so lazy. I don't have it. I mean, I can see in here and I'm like, I'm going to go back to bed.
But she's become the symbol for overcoming adversity.
Now when you think about that, that's crazy.
Right.
You're in just a world of isolation.
Yeah.
Kind of scary.
It is, man. It is.
Scares me. And to be honest, I have a fear of like deep water, like the deep end of a pool.
Yeah.
I have a lot of fears.
Yeah.
And I often feel like that's what it's like when you're in deep water. You're in such isolation. That kind of freaks me out a little.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Have you heard of those isolation tanks and stuff?
I don't like that.
Those are amazing.
I don't like that.
Oh, no. There was a movie called Altered States with William Hurt.
Mm.
And that was a long time ago, but he would go and sort of like explore different tribes and all the hallucinogenics.
I've heard of this. Alternative states.
Altered states.
I think I've definitely.
This is from the 70s.
Yes, yeah, it's like an older.
But he would go into an isolation tank too, and would like freak out. I mean, the stuff that he was seeing and going through.
There's one, my friends did this. They go to South America. It's called Ayahuasca. I think that's how you pronounce it. Uh-huh. Ayahuasca.
Yeah.
And you take it. Chelsea Handler does it on her drugs episode. She does it and films it. They take it with a shaman in a circle, and you immediately get very, very sick and throw up. And then for like 12 hours, you're supposed to have like the life-changing, like 12 hours.
Wow.
And you see things and you hear things.
Yeah, right.
Except if you have a bad trip, it's like the worst 12 hours. That's my fear.
Yeah.
What if you're like, it's not going well? You're stuck, dude.
Yeah,
that shaman can't help you out.
I know. That's why be careful with drugs, you know?
Yeah.
Some people eat edibles and that's what happens to them. They freak out, you know?
That's why I don't like edibles.
Yeah.
I don't know how much is in this gummy bear.
Well, but you have to try very small ones. I mean, it tells you on them when you buy them.
I start with
very small.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. It just scares me. It's just like.
No, don't be scared. Look, I mean, I had one this morning. I don't even feel it.
I love it.
I've got such high tolerance for it. I don't even feel it.
So do you have to eat like three gummy bears?
No, not at all. I eat this caramel.
Oh.
And or sometimes there's like brownies and stuff, but I don't like to eat a lot. So
right.
You know,
you're gonna be. I'm gonna buy you Brew Buds. I'm gonna buy you that Brew Buds.
Yeah,
that coffee
with
the THC in it.
I'm gonna get
it. Says
that.
It gives you just a really nice relaxing sativa high.
Good.
Yeah,
I need that.
Yeah,
I need cool sativa highs.
I think that I'm gonna look that up for you, and I'm also gonna buy you some of Whoopi Goldberg's marijuana laced products.
Oh, okay.
For hand creams, my friend's using it for eczema, and it's working.
Really?
Yeah.
It does.
It works.
Wow.
And the swelling has gone down enormously. You're going to see an outburst of CBD oil products. It's the new thing. And it doesn't necessarily get you high. It kind of like...
Yeah, it doesn't at all.
Yeah, it has just like healing properties.
Right.
And they're doing it for pets. People who have pets with back pain or like an amputation leg. So they have a lot of back pain. They're rubbing it on and it's helping a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
And even if you're just an uptight person.
You know, really, if you're uptight, I might want to try it.
Yeah, it relaxes the hell out of you, man.
I have a mother who's very city mouse. And I have her sister, my aunt, is very country mouse. Okay. And my country mouse aunt is like a bird watcher. She's a beekeeper in the middle of Massachusetts. And she smokes weed. Okay.
Yeah.
And my mother is at the National Gallery of Art. She's a tour guide and she is very in charge and has a very busy social life in D.C. But when they get together, you know, the best thing I want them to do is smoke together and have this moment of like they're both on the same page.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Bond or something.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're very different, but they are the same if they can be on the same page. Same, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so true. If someone is high, it's hard to relate to them if you're not, you know?
Yeah, and also it would bring my mother down from, she can be a little, sometimes uptight. She has like a lot of tense. She's very tense.
Yeah.
It would make her, and she's in chronic pain. She has a disease. She has Gaucher's disease, which is a very like prevalent disease in the Ashkenazi Jewish community.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it would not only help her pain, it would help her just like chill. You know, chill out a little bit.
Yeah, I know a lot of people actually need it to chill out. Yeah. You know, maybe
she's very tense.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah. So yeah, and you see a lot of these. The older generations are the ones starting up smoking a lot more.
That's true.
You know, but it helps with aches and pains and arthritis and all that.
Right. You know, and plus, I mean, the as people age, I mean, we're the people that smoked pot when we were kids.
That's true.
You know, so we're open to
you're
it.
Right,
you know,
you're right.
I never was
that's
against
true.
It.
That's true. You're like the 70s. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, the 60s, 70s kids.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up with that.
That's
so
true.
To us, it's like, that's why we're cool parents, because we get high with
that's
our
true.
Kids.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, that's very true. My grandmother, the mother to these, my mom and my aunt, my aunt used to grow buds in the basement, and my grandmother helped pick the buds for her.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I don't know if my grandma knew she wasn't just gardening.
Yeah.
We never knew.
I know. But I'd love to grow some. I mean, you know, in California, you can have
with
medical marijuana, or even when the recreational starts.
Yeah.
But it would be cool, you know?
Yeah, we're right downstairs from a hydroponic store.
Right, right. But you need...
you need a lot of equipment, I feel like.
You do. You need like a cabinet.
Yeah.
For at least a cabinet or a room.
Right.
Because you need circulation. You need odor control. You need a lot of things.
You need that weird purple light that tells everyone you're a drug person. You know that purple light you see in windows? I'm like, oh, that guy's...
I don't know that.
Oh, it's like a certain light that helps...
I don't know if you need that
anymore.
Oh,
good. Oh, good. Yeah. Okay.
No, I mean, they use like fluorescent lights and
oh, no. No more purple. I like this.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen purple.
Okay, that's when I grew up. Everyone was doing the purple light.
I know. But no, because if you grow it outdoors, you have to wait like the whole cycle
exactly.
of the seasons.
Right.
Here, you create the seasons indoors for the plant.
I see.
So what you do is, like for example, when it's... you give it more nighttime, then it doesn't grow as much, right?
I see. So it's always that's the light. That's
so,
why you have the
so
light.
So you control like the sun, right?
Sun.
So when you start changing the lighting, then it starts flowering.
I see.
It finishes vegetating and it starts flowering.
You're a green thumb. It's like your Ed Harris.
Well, I've read about it.
Yeah.
You know,
you're Ed Harris in the Truman Show. Cue the sun. You know, when you'd turn the light on. That's just what it is. I mean, but it takes a lot of work and effort. It's just like gardening.
It is. But there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you were talking about the hydroponic place. You can set everything with timers and it's all automatic.
That's true.
The water.
I bet it's easier now.
And the light and also, yeah. But it's still expensive to get all the equipment, you know.
Well, speaking of health, the healthcare bill is going to the floor for a vote today.
Right.
They say they have the votes and they're going to be taking away a lot of pre-existing conditions. So... if you are liberal, they say, please call Congress and say that you don't want this to have happen. If you don't care or you're Republican, good luck, enjoy. 844-241-1141 and let them know you don't agree with it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not going to be good.
No, huh?
No. Yeah. They say it's going to increase. And then Jimmy Kimmel gave that really heartfelt, you know, speech about his son and said, I don't think if you're a Republican or Democrat, you don't want your child to die. I think we can all agree that you want to be able to have your child live. And Joe Walsh, who is a conservative TV host and radio host, tweeted, sorry for that sob story, Jimmy Kimmel. We still don't want to pay for your kid's surgery.
Mm.
And everyone's like, wow, you're just that's a horrible
that's
thing
a
to
dick.
Say.
Don't say it. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Just terrible.
I don't know. I mean,
that's
there's
just
no
like
easy
evil.
Answers, you know?
Right.
There's no easy answers.
The worst thing this is going to do is take away almost, if you have pre-existing conditions, you're going to not be able again to get health care. That's the problem. And that's what I liked about the Affordable Care Act is that it specifically was like, if you have mental health, that's not going to stop you from getting help.
Right.
So
you see, I don't know the detail about those things because after a while, it just
it all kind of becomes
like,
the same.
Yeah, it just becomes like buzz to me.
You just want to read the CBO and they tell you what sort of like what it will look like in the future, and they say this will very much take away almost all pre-existing conditions. Like you won't be able to have insurance again. So that's what we're worried about. That was the toughest thing in the world.
But it seems like everybody's got a pre-existing.
That's exactly right. That's
right?
Why Obama was like, "You have
to
allow
this."
It's
not going to work.
that's what we're hoping for. So that's why you call and say, I do not want this to pass.
Right.
So
so the vote hasn't happened yet, though.
It's going to the floor today. They think they have enough votes. But there's also a funny story, guys. Steve Bannon, who you guys know is in the government, is like some crazy advisor. I don't know. He took a picture with Rabbi Shmuley.
Yes, I saw that.
Yes.
What
so
is going on there?
In the background, if you notice, is a whiteboard. And this is something that they have in D.C. all the time. They call the whiteboard sessions, but you don't allow the whiteboard sessions to be photographed. Rabbi Shmuley says he was absolutely okay with him tweeting it. You can read and zoom in, and it says things like this. End the Syrian refugee program. Check. Build wall. Somehow make... Oh, what was it? Eventually make Mexico pay for it. Think literally, this is what their agenda was, and it was an entire whiteboard, and you can read them all, and it's like, it shows you what, like, it's an anti, like, human whiteboard. Wow. It's like all these horrible things. And he just took a picture in front of it. So if you go, you can see everyone's been tweeting, like...
So people zoomed in on
Oh, everyone, yeah. And it's clear. And it's like weird things like eventually make Mexico pay for it. That's what's written. I thought it was a joke in an Onion article.
Yeah.
It's very strange. So.
What are we going to do?
I don't know.
This government.
It's just so scary to me. It's like the most anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, anti-Judaic Christian like morals up on that wall. And the rabbi was smiling. And it's very much like, wow. Tell me again about how you're going to like...
Well, he definitely lost a lot of points with me, this Shmuley guy.
It was very bad. Yeah. It was very bad. And he got so much hate on Twitter that he was like... he said, Steve Bannon did allow me to tweet this. So, you know, it's not my fault, but he got, you know, just crushed.
Wow.
Yeah. It's all like a list of evil things. I literally thought someone had photoshopped it.
Yeah.
But it's just Steve Bannon's whiteboard.
That's Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
That's Steve Bannon.
Yeah. Scary stuff, guys.
Well, but they kind of distanced themselves from him, right?
Yeah, I mean, now they took him out of the National Security Council.
Right.
And then he was like, Bannon, yeah. What Trump doesn't like is people keep calling him President Bannon. And he, because he's six, he doesn't like that. That makes his poopy pants upset.
Right.
So he's like... At one point, I think a week ago, he's like, Steve's a great guy, but he's not a big part of this government. He's a huge part. So they are trying to now visibly distance themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for them, man.
Yeah.
So I see this picture of Spicer here. Anything new with him?
yeah, they brought up the Jimmy Kimmel thing and how you could allow this new repeal after Jimmy Kimmel talked about how his kid wouldn't have been able to have the heart surgeries that he's having without having... He had a pre-existing condition born, so he wouldn't have been able to get insurance for that, except for Affordable Care Act. And he just had talking points, and everyone was just like shocked at how like callous it sounded.
It does sound callous, doesn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is the biggest speech for Obamacare has been this Kimmel thing, because he didn't try and make it political. He just said, Republican, Democrat, you don't want to watch your child die. And he was like, I was in the NICU. Yeah. And it was in the NICU with all these parents that couldn't afford. And so unless they had insurance, they couldn't have done this and they're for their babies. And I think he spoke to exactly what you just said, a personal story.
Right.
And there's a picture of him with his child right after surgery in the NICU, and it sort of personalized it.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, I don't know. That's why I'd rather, like, focus on other things.
I know, you're like, I'm bummed
but
now.
This shit is happening, you know?
Well, you want to be informed. You want to be educated, or else you don't have any power in this world. So unless you know what your government's trying to do, you're just a minion. You're a prawn. No, a pawn. I'm so hungry for prawns. I had shrimp louis last night, and I'm like, I'm really in the mood for more seafood.
Oh, wow.
That's
yeah,
so
I know
stupid.
I like shrimp.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you grow up with shrimp at home? I mean,
yeah, it was like...
You guys didn't have, like, kosher or anything.
Oh, no. No, we actually... And we grew up near Maryland, so we had crabs all the time.
Ah.
Baltimore crabs are the best.
You see, that's the thing. When I grew up in Israel and most things are kosher, at least there were a lot more than now. Now people don't really care that much.
Right.
Some people do, but...
is it shellfish you can't eat?
Shellfish and pork and dairy and meat.
Yeah,
at the
dairy
same
meat,
time.
I know. But the shellfish is just all shellfish?
Yeah, all shellfish. Wow. Because they're bottom dwellers, you
know.
Yeah,
I know.
Which makes sense, you know. I mean, they eat the garbage on the bottom. But, but the thing is that. So it was always like gross to me. So, I mean, I was able to overcome it with shrimp, even though I still think they look nasty when they're alive.
Absolutely but, look right? nasty when they're alive.
And then lobsters and crabs, the same way. Oh, you man. Know. But those I can't, I haven't been able to bring myself to eat.
Oh, you're missing out.
And octopus either, you know.
No, well, I know that,
I imagine
yeah.
I miss out, but oh, still.
Lobster? I mean, yeah. And I went in summer, every summer I went to Maine. So we had fresh Maine lobster. And there, I got to tell you.
See, like, I got to try it,
it's
man.
Unbelievably it good. Delicious. Yeah, it's really good.
But it's funny how we put blocks in our minds.
Yeah, because that actually doesn't you know? Mean anything. Right. But it's just like you grew up with
it
that.
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't.
I mean, I remember we took a cruise. I must have been 11 years old. We took a cruise from Israel to Europe. And so there you see food that they serve everywhere, you know. So suddenly, I mean, we have breakfast and there's bacon on there. I've never seen meat like that before. My parents are like, don't eat that.
Oh, my God.
That's pig, you know. That's pork, so you can't eat that.
Man.
And so funny, that's how you grow up,
right.
You know, being what, afraid of
and
these
it's so
things.
Exactly. What's so funny is I would eat pepperoni, bacon, anything, right? But then, God forbid, someone had a ham. God forbid.
Right?
Oh, I don't eat ham. Why not? That's so hypocritical.
Know,
so now right? I'm like learning. My mother-in-law is like Irish Catholic, so she makes like a great ham for you know Christmas and right. for things. And I'm like, I love ham.
Yeah,
it's there's cool. nothing wrong with ham, but it's right. always weird. I'm like, I can't get a ham in Swiss. There's ham, and it's like it makes no difference.
I know.
Yeah, but that's funny because that's how prejudice start. You were taught that you saw bacon. Bacon was bad.
Right.
So like you grew up being like, I can't have bacon.
Yeah, and because it's Christian.
Right. And that makes you know, no. It literally makes no sense. But that's yeah. how racism and prejudice that starts.
That's how it
that's
works.
Exactly.
I'm
right.
telling you, if you don't get out of it, that's how people like in those dictatorship countries and stuff that they don't really, you know, that's all they know.
That's exactly right. And that's what when I say educate yourself, that's because a dictatorship starts like this with Trump and he just says, believe me, everything will be good. Believe me. That's a dictator saying, right. don't listen to what I'm don't watch what I'm doing.
Right.
And I'm not going
to
do that.
Don't listen to anybody.
Exactly.
Else,
blah,
right?
blah, 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 blah. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. I'm going to worry. I'm going to worry. So I think it's good to be educated, but also keep yourself happy.
Yeah. I don't know. There's too much news since he became president, you know. At least with Obama, I could just say, okay, yeah, well, yeah. things are all right.
Yeah, right. That's you sort of part, just want yeah. dad to come back into the house, like
and
the
I,
adult.
And I got to tell you, I couldn't wait for him to leave.
Right, I remember. But now do you yeah. feel like
it's
it was
all
more
relative.
Stable?
Yeah, it's more relative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're giving away. They just announced. They just stepped out in Chicago, and they're looking good. They're on yeah. vacation. They're doing a $2 million program for jobs in Chicago, in an inner city, to try and help Chicago.
Nice.
So they're starting an initiative, and they started in public service, so this is they're going back to their roots.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And I guess Hillary the other day was being interviewed.
Yeah.
And so she took responsibility for 2 seconds and then blamed everybody else again.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think
Comey and
yeah.
the Russians.
And Comey definitely has announced it. He's on the cover of the New York Times. He did say yeah. like he feels he did have a say in the election because he announced it that day. But at some point, too, Clinton was saying this, you know, in Pennsylvania where I lost, they don't have cell coverage. I couldn't even get cell coverage. And that's why they couldn't get it, because they don't have high speed internet. That's true. But it's also like bashing again the rural areas that you can't win.
Right. And
you're
like
not
Wisconsin,
getting it.
She never was in Wisconsin, for example. Right. She never campaigned there.
Yeah. Like, don't bash the very people that turned against it. Just she didn't get the rural vote. She doesn't have the touch. She's not Bill Clinton. She's not Obama. They just have something else.
Yeah. You see, the thing is, she needs to go after the people that weren't supporting
exactly.
her, right?
And to say Pennsylvania
and to convert
is like...
her,
yeah,
convert
she just...
them.
She never... She's always a little tone deaf on things where she doesn't add up to, like, I'm not speaking to everyone.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then she
I
made
agree
half
that.
The country the deplorable.
I mean, Trump has said a lot worse things than that. Everyone likes
no,
to
do
the
deplorable. No, absolutely. But we let him get away with it.
Exactly.
You know?
She often doesn't get things let... doesn't, you know, we don't let her get away with anything.
Yeah. Hmm. I just think it was really both sides that were really weak in the election.
I think we had a crap election.
We really
100%.
Did.
I am a liberal, right? Like through and through. Did I think Clinton was our best candidate? No.
No.
Did I think Joe Biden would have been phenomenal? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that because I'm an anti-feminist and she has a vagina. My God. It's that I don't think she's likable.
Right.
And I don't think she's very trustworthy. And that's like a very important part of being president, even though we have this chump.
That's true. And you actually liked her, right?
I do. I liked her policies. But I was the first to say she's no Michelle Obama. She's no Bill Clinton. And she said that. I don't have it.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have it, give it to Joe Biden, because
exactly.
he does.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he has that. He can speak to a Delaware coal miner And you believe him. And he's speaking like...
But he didn't want to run.
No, his son. It was horrible. His poor son passed.
I know. Do you think he's going to run in 2020?
He said it's not happening.
No?
Yeah, he just announced it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We all love Biden.
Yeah. What's it going to take to get Trump out? We'll see.
I think Trump is going to step down because he hates it.
I know. He hates
he's like,
job,
this is
right?
way worse than I thought. I'm like, good. Good, good, good.
All right, folks. Another show in the can. Our guest didn't call in. And,
oh, yeah, I forgot.
It was a spontaneous thing, though. So maybe he didn't even get my email back or something this morning.
Fine, then.
But that's all right. We'll talk to him again soon. Tomorrow, I guess, is Friday, so we're looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
And as usual, folks, thank you all for listening. Go out and download the app if you want. It's Sam in the Morning Radio Show.
Yeah, see if you like it.
And yeah, and we have bios of ourselves and the pictures and all our shows. So go in and get that, and we'd appreciate that, because if you're a big fan, you need to have our app.
Yeah, you do, and we're animated.
I gotta tell you, people see the cartoon of us, they go, this is incredible.
It looked real good.
Right?
Was that another Tenster thing?
Or
Fivester?
A Fiverr.
A Fiverr. Was that another
Fiverr.
One?
It was
get
a Fiverr
out
thing.
Of here. Yeah. I look a little buff. And my neck looks strong, and I look cute, and my hair looks good.
Yeah, because it's a comic.
It was great.
Right?
Looks phenomenal.
It's not really a cartoon. It's a comic book character.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's great.
Know?
It's so good.
Yeah. So get a wrap, please. Android, iPhone, anywhere. And I put myself out there, so get
Bravo.
The friggin' thing, you
yeah.
know? Think about it. We don't charge anybody anything to be entertained by us, you know?
And we are so entertaining.
Right. I mean, one day maybe we'll be Howard Stern and we'll be able to earn a little bit of a living.
I think we're almost there.
Yeah.
Right? With this app, who knows?
Yeah. You got to explode, really. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, we got to come up with ideas. I want to do contests and stuff. I don't know if it's going to work, but we can
who
try,
cares?
Right?
Right. Who cares? What's the worst you can lose? Is it a bad contest?
I wouldn't lose. I would be happy to give our listeners something away.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So let us know what you guys would want, too. What is it, money? Is it a hug?
They want money, but...
I would think it's money, right? No, everyone's
the
like, screw
that. The only question is, how am I going to get the money to you?
You Venmo.
What's that?
You Venmo.
What's that?
Venmo's like PayPal, but it's how you send money to people.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, electronically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, send that money to you then,
all
folks.
Right.
If that's what you want.
Do I get money for knowing
money.
Venmo? No,
yeah, you'll be the first winner, Tori. I'll give you a questionnaire here.
Trivia. That would be fun.
You know, trivia would be
cool. That'd
be great,
yeah.
All right. Well, we'll think about everything. My mind is working overtime these days, so there you go.
That's good.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.